James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Church, I want you to forgive me this morning. I have been guilty for years of assuming too much. I assume a lot when it comes to the body of Christ. I assume that since we are in this place, that most of us in here, because we are here, it displays that we are here because we want to be here, not because we have to be here. I have been assuming that the reason we are here is because most of us have been convinced in an overwhelming fashion that our God is alive. I have made the assumption that the God of the heavens and the God that is revealed to us in so many ways, but overwhelmingly through the Holy Scriptures, that this God is the only true God. And I have assumed that most of us in here believe that with all of our hearts. I have assumed that when we give our worship, we don't reserve a piece of our worship for other objects, but we give it all to God. And I have assumed that because most of us in here have made a confession that Jesus is Lord and that God is the only true God. Therefore, I have assumed that we all in here submit to God. So church, forgive me for assuming too much. Someone said, when you assume, you make assumptions. Church, but seriously, I would find it hard to find someone in here who calls themselves a disciple of Jesus and would knock at the blatant notion in Scripture that disciples of Jesus should submit to God. Our brother James reminds us in this pointed Scripture to submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil. In the Message, James 4:7 reads, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Submission is an idea made familiar to us throughout Scripture. King Hezekiah made a call to the people of Israel to return to the Lord and to submit to him. People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror as you see. Do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Submission is the response that is desired by God from all of us. It shouldn't be foreign to us. And like much of the human condition, submission is a choice. God doesn't force us to submit. We choose to submit. The beauty of obeying God and submitting to God is that he gives us a choice. But our choice is not made in response to a God who stands idly and waits for you or me to make a choice. God has positioned himself in our lives as one who loves and cares and blesses and gives and comforts and heals and leads and forgives and hears and feeds and shows mercy and gives understanding and accepts and gives strength and answers prayers. And did I say a God who loves? Our choice is to submit or to give up our will in exchange for the will of God. How many of you in here want to do God's will? How many of you really believe in the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the provision of God and the sacrifice of God? Are you willing to submit to God in everything? If you haven't figured it out, we are continuing our series on spiritual disciplines, and we turn our attention to the discipline of submission. Submission is a discipline because it takes a willingness to go against our nature. We don't like to submit. Last year when I preached from this same text, when we were going through the book of James, I think I alluded to professional wrestling and some of the professional wrestlers that their finishing move was a move of submission. You know, remember Sergeant Slaughter and the Camel Clutch or Iron Sheik, and he used to do something and put you in a hold, or some of you guys watch UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, and mixed martial arts, and you can win those matches either by winning with your head on points or knocking somebody out or putting them in an arm bar where the person taps out as a way to say, I submit because I don't want to get my arm broken. You see, fighters don't want to be put in that position where they have to submit. And we are fighters by nature, and we don't like to submit. So this idea of submission is hard for us because it goes against our nature. That's why I'm glad that Jesus didn't make submission a bad thing. He demonstrated submission to God in all things. We have no more vivid depiction of Jesus submitting than the scene described in Matthew chapter 26. When he's praying in the garden, it says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but your will be done. As if to say, I am setting my will aside for your will, God. Or when it comes to my way and your way, it's like Burger King. Sorry, Carl. You can have it your way. Church, that's submission. One author says this about submission. We make a commitment and resolve to yield our will, mind, and body for God's purposes so we can better hear, receive, and obey his word. It is a call to submit and a discipline because it takes our effort even though we are not required to do so. Don't think I'm going to get much argument. Don't think I'm going to get much argument in God's kingdom, that the right choice to make is to choose to submit to God. But then there's this scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse number 15. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And get this, church. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The same word used in conjunction to our relationship with God is used in conjunction to our relationship with each other. What in the world does this mean? As quick as we are to accept that the right choice is to choose to submit to God, how quickly are we in choosing to submit to one another? That's a tough question. And a question worthy of all of our attention. Given what we know about submission, this becomes a tough decision. In submitting to one another, Dion, are you saying that I am setting aside my will for their will? Does this mean that when it comes to my way and your way, it's like Burger King, you can have it your way? As we consider submission as a discipline, it's important to reiterate here that disciplines are not introduced to make more work for you. I'm not here to give you more things to do, to fill your calendars up with more stuff, to put more items on the list, to add more to the honey to-do list. I'm not here to do that. Disciplines aren't practiced so that we have this sense that we're doing more work. And in fact, it's just the opposite. Disciplines are a way to experience spiritual formation, rest, and even more than that, disciplines become a vehicle for us to experience, listen to this word, freedom. In celebration, for example, there is a freedom to let go and to come unhinged in recognition of God's goodness. Do you see that freedom? In confession, there is a freedom to not be consumed by your sin because you are alone with your sin. Do you see that freedom? In simplicity, there is a freedom to rely completely on God. And in submission, there is a freedom for you to give up your will in lieu of someone else's. In other words, you do not have to be consumed with getting things your way. There is a wonderful and powerful quote from Richard Foster's book regarding submission where he writes this, and I quote, "Do you know the liberation that comes from giving up your rights? It means you are set free from the seething anger and bitterness you feel when someone doesn't act toward you the way you think they should. It means that at last you are able to break that vicious law of the commerce that says, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You bloody my nose, I'll bloody your nose. It means you are free to obey Jesus' command, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It means that for the first time you understand how it is possible to surrender the rights to retaliate. I don't know about you, but I like freedom. We sing about freedom. We celebrate freedom on the 4th of July. All y'all got over at the Boer's house for red, white, and Boer to celebrate freedom. I like freedom. I take that back. I love freedom. I love being free from sin. I love being free from the law. I love being free in Christ. I love that I can be free from having to have it my way. I am glad that I can be free from imposing my will on your will. I love that I am free to give up a rightfully placed position because of my love for you. Therefore, I will submit to you and to you and to you. I will, because I love freedom. I'll submit to you, and I'll submit to you, and I'll submit to you, and I'll submit to you, because I love freedom. And if you love freedom, if you love freedom as much as I love freedom, you can look at the person next to you and say, I'll submit to you. How many people love freedom? How many people love freedom? Look to your neighbor and say, I'll submit to you. Look to your neighbor and say, I'll submit to you. Husbands, you better say that to your wife. I'll submit to you, wife. Wives, you better say that to your husbands. I'll submit to you, husband. We are all free to submit. Having a better understanding of submission will help as we have been seduced into erroneous understandings of submission. Submission isn't about yielding to the more powerful or allowing yourself to be crushed for crushed's sake. It is the act of self-denial in the vein of Jesus' call to discipleship when he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. An understanding of biblical and spiritual submission is an understanding of Jesus, who emptied himself and denied himself his rightful place in being equal with God. We get that from the hymn that Christ wrote, that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He gave up that right to be with you and to be with me. Paul writes, before he writes that hymn, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Self-denial and humility is not losing your identity or ignoring your interests. It is the act of embracing others' interests and expressing the freedom to live in their interests. Submitting to others is not a you win, I lose situation. It's a you win, I win, the church wins, the family wins, the body of Christ wins, the kingdom of God wins, and everybody wins. So I ask again, don't you want freedom? Then submit to one another and let go of what we hold so dearly. And that is our right to have it our way. Just let it go. If we want unity in the body of Christ, we need to practice the discipline of submission. If we want to see progress in the body of Christ, we need to submit to one another. If we want to recognize and select elders or shepherds in this church, we need to submit to one another. And it is in submission that we once again proclaim a communal confession that in all things we trust the will of God. Thus we sing, and we will be singing it shortly, Lord, take control. Lord, I submit to you. So, Lord, take control. And because you, Lord, are in control, I can and I will submit to you, God. And I'll submit to my brothers and my sisters. Dallas Willard wrote in his book on disciplines, the highest level of fellowship involving humility, complete honesty, transparency, and at times confession and restitution is sustained by the discipline of submission. When I ask if or who desires freedom, almost everyone in here raised your hands. If you want true freedom, remember Braveheart when Mel Gibson was screaming about freedom? If you want true freedom, give it up to God. Submit to God and submit to one another. If we ask why marriages break up, people say money or affairs or all. Yeah. Symptoms of this: two people unwilling to submit to each other. Men and women who are married in here, you want a stronger marriage? Submit to each other. Sometimes men want to jump to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, where it says, wives, submit to their own husbands. And they forget to read chapter 5, verse number 21, that says, submit to one another. I could get technical here and say in verse number 22, the word submit ain't in the Greek, but that's a whole nother sermon. Submit to one another. What would this church look like? We gave up our rights, trusted God first, and submitted to one another. I say, let's not only dream about what our church would look like if we do that. I say we commit together to do that. So when I asked you earlier to look to your neighbor and say, I'll submit to you, I hope you said that with conviction and with honesty. And I hope that that becomes a key component to the story that is being written at the Reynoldsburg Church. It's not about my way. It's about God's way. It's about our way. Let's move toward that way together. Let's pray. God, with joined hearts, we confess our difficulty in submitting to your will. God, often we don't invest enough time trying to discover what your will is for our life. And God, that's why we're encouraged to slow down, to be still, and to listen for you. And God, it's even more difficult to consider this idea of submitting to one another. Because quite frankly, God, I'll speak for me. I like my way. And a lot of times I think my way is better than Jay's way or Christy's way or Walt's way or April's way. But God, more than I like or love my way, I love freedom. And God, because I love freedom in Christ, because I love freedom in you, I'm going to submit to them. God, we come together with collective hearts saying we are going to submit to you and we're going to submit to one another. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to be a nearly impossible task to submit to one another if you have not first submitted to God. So as we sing this next song, if you have trouble letting go, there's a situation right now in your life that you think you can control. There's a situation in your life that you think, if I just do this, it'll get better. And you're frustrated and you're angry and you're confused. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Give it up and ask God to take control. How many people needs God's control in their life? I control in my life. As we sing this song, if you need God to take control of something in your life, if you need him to take control of a situation, if you need him to take control of your marriage, you need him to take control of your situation at work, if you need to take control of your parenting, if you need him to take control of something here at church, you ask him to take control while we sing this song. If there's anything we can do to help you, pray for you, touch you, hug you, minister to you, serve you, as an expression of God taking control, we want to do that. And if today you want God to take control of your life, you want to confess Jesus Christ, you want to be baptized, you want to become a committed, sold out disciple of Jesus Christ, as we sing this song is for you to ask God to take control. Let's stand and let's sing.